When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
You wanted the best, you got the best. The hottest podcast in the month of July, the Decibel Geek Podcast, and welcome to it. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my main dude right over there, Chris Sinzak.
What's up?
What's going on, man? Happy Christmas in July. It's going good so far.
Yeah, good. Having first fun. Week with the Gene Simmons Band.
How cool are those guys?
It was great.
Oh, man. I love all three of those dudes. Really, you know, nice. Gene Simmons has never been accused of being a dummy.
No, I don't think so.
No, but he has really shown his genius by the choosing of his band.
His genius.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know it. Trademark.
Yeah.
It's already exactly. Done.
Yeah, a lot of good feedback on that. People seem to really enjoy hearing about a side of Gene you don't usually get to see in the press.
Yeah,
so
I loved it.
I was happy we could help share.
It was so cool, those guys, to come on and share those stories with us.
Definitely. Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
A lot of cool KISS-related stuff being posted on DecibelGeek.com also.
Yeah, man. Lots of cool stuff going on in there. You don't know about DecibelGeek.com? Then what you need to do is right now, well, maybe as soon as you're done listening to this, go directly to DecibelGeek.com. Scroll on through, man. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on there. It's your home for rock and roll. I know you go to a lot of cool websites for your rock and roll. Make sure DecibelGeek.com is one of them.
Absolutely.
All right. So
let's get down
to business. Before we get into this week's Kistivities, we got to take a look and see an iTunes review. And let's see here. Where's them twinkling five stars? Where are they at?
I got bad news.
I don't see one here.
We didn't get one this week.
Are you kidding me? We're caught back up again.
Yeah.
We've hit the glass ceiling on iTunes reviews again.
Yeah, we didn't get any.
Like,
this
we
week.
Crushed through it last time. I thought we defeated the glass ceiling.
I know, I did too.
Of iTunes it's reviews. This is.
Don't. It's not get the end of the world, okay?
All right.
I see you tearing up.
I am a little bit. This you right. Know, it's kind of turning to anger.
All right, guys. I can't stop the rain. But you can if you leave an iTunes review next week.
Wow. I feel better since you've said that.
Okay, well, good.
That warms my heart a little bit.
Peter Criss hung it up. I had to do some sort of Peter Criss mention. But
here it comes again.
Yeah. But no, guys, I mean, the iTunes reviews, you know, we joke about it, but they are really important.
Really important.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you guys support us. We know that. You guys love us. We know that.
Yeah.
You love what we do here on Decibel Geek. We know that. You know, so many of you have shown your appreciation in so many different ways. Oh, speaking of people, and we predicted it last week, and it happened.
Huh?
The Rockin' Pod Expo. It hit it.
Yes.
It did it.
We are 100% funded now.
100%. So, like I said, you know, we appreciate everybody that's kicked in on that, not just through Decibel Geek, but through all the shows that are involved in that.
And I should give a special thank you to Joe Becht, who is part of the sponsor that basically came on board to put us over the top. He's with a company called Bel Air Expediting, and they are one of the sponsors for the expo, and their logo will be proudly displayed all over all the printed materials and
very
advertising.
Cool.
And thanks to Joe, and you've heard Joe on the show before. He did a Radio Sucks VIP show, and he's going to be coming back on in the future.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
So that was really cool. But the iTunes review, like, you guys, you know about the show, and you listen every week, and we appreciate it. iTunes, though, needs those reviews, because what happens is we get more exposure through iTunes podcasting app. And that's the people that are discovering new shows. So if you like what we're doing and you want us to have more listeners, leave those reviews if you haven't left one, because it helps the algorithm that causes iTunes to show our podcast to more people.
Right. And what do we do here? What have we done since day one? We have flown the flag of rock and roll. These bands, this music, Kiss, Sabbath, you know, and all the way down the line to bands from today that we love, Denman, The Tip, you know, and so many others. We fly that flag because we want the world to know that this music is alive, it's very well, and it's vital. People love it and people care. And so when iTunes sees that we are helping these bands sell music, and when iTunes sees that there's a movement going on here behind Decibel Geek of people that still love their rock and roll from all over the entire world, speak up. Let them know that you listen to Decibel Geek and you love it.
Yeah, so next week, let's shoot for more iTunes reviews, please.
Please?
Because I don't want to have to give Aaron another pep talk.
All right. You're going to quote some more Peter Criss lyrics for me.
No, that'll just make you sadder. All right. So the other people we like so much, these are the geeks of the week. These are the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter last week's conversation with the Gene Simmons Band.
Loved it.
Geeks of the week this week are Matt Ashcraft, Mark Alden Taylor, Scott Smith, Neil Johnson, Brent Cattell, Kiss Army, Washington State, Cobras and Fire Podcast, Rob Webb, Christina Manalaki, Potter Than Hell Podcast, Steve Wright. That's a new Kiss podcast for you Kiss fans. Check that one out.
Potter Than Hell.
Potter Than Hell. Seymour Pierce, Dan Chapu, Mind Over Metal Podcast, Hoops, Matt Porter from the Kiss Room shared it.
Yeah.
Mike Tyler, Dave Shirt, and a few other times from Dave Shirt.
It's a good man.
Shane Hebert, Brian Knapp, Christina Green, Joshua Toomey from Talk To Me Podcast, Rockin' Ron Runyon, Trevor McDougal, Kevin Williams, David Stonich, Brent Tibbetts, Joe Lescon, Mikhail Burrell, Adam Cox, Thomas Mukaji, Brad Schick, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, Alex Ferenc, Desiree Cox, Aaron Baker, Sean Cullen, Anthony Britt, Joseph Capone, David Pastor, Wayne Cross, Andrew Jacobs, Jeremy Asbrock, Ryan Cook from the Gene Simmons Band.
Heck yeah.
Derek Laba, Derek Novak, Darren Hellowell, David Glenn, Colin Francis, MDG Rock Photography, Jeff Mendenhall, Ernesto Aguiar, Rooster Chase, and
The Mooger Fooger. You know it. Thank you, people, for getting out there, spreading the word, telling the world about Decibel Geek and what we got going on here. If it weren't for you, nobody would know about us.
That's right.
And no one would know rock and roll is alive and well. And it is.
Yes.
Case in point, it's Kissmas in July, and we're celebrating.
And this is something we did this a few years ago. We called it the cutting room floor that time.
Yeah.
But since then, we've started it as a different kind of concept called Demolicious.
Demolicious. People wanted Demolicious to return. Yeah. Little did they know that it was going to return in Kissmas in July.
So it's Demolicious Kiss Edition.
The Kiss Edition. Right. I love it.
So, but basically, I want to just shine a light on some stuff that was unreleased or demo versions of stuff that got released later from Kiss.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And, there's all kinds of cool stuff, man. That's one thing that's great about being a Kiss fan is that, you know, there's little gems that appear every so often, things that you've never heard before. I'm super stoked about the Gene Simmons box set coming out.
Me
you know,
too.
There's really hardly anything on this whole entire earth that makes me happier than to hear a Kiss song that I've never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me joy that is just so immense that it's
the opposite of not getting an iTunes review.
It's the exactly. Yeah. It's like yin and yang, matter and antimatter. It's just like one is so bad, but the other is so good.
That's right. Even if the songs are about logs and fireplaces.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, a few times. But cool if I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so we don't have like a ton of, you know, super detailed notes on these things, but I mean, a lot of these things I know about throughout the last few years, and there was a batch of songs that got leaked, I think about 2 years ago, and these were songs that were demoed and recorded for the Psycho Circus album in 1998.
All right. Are these songs that have Ace and Peter on them?
Good question.
Nobody knows?
I don't know.
Okay.
If I'm a betting man, I'd say probably not,
because
Ace and Peter didn't play on most of the album, so
no,
it's
and they
probably,
were probably
not likely.
Yeah, probably not demoing songs with Gene and Paul if they're not making many appearances on the actual album.
Yeah, and these aren't, the songs I have from this album are not Ace or Peter songs. They're actually, both of them are Gene that I have.
Okay.
But they're interesting songs, and like anyone that's listened to the show for a while knows that I rank Psycho Circus pretty much at the bottom of the Kiss album list for me. It's one of the biggest disappointments in the band's history. And part of that was the lack of fucking songs, really. It was like a lot of celebration of Kiss songs. Which,
right. But that was the time, you know. Well, they had just made their triumphant return, right. You know. And so
one or two of those would have been fine, but a whole album of them was a bit much.
Yeah.
But my choices from the album are not fucking songs either. And they're both by Gene, which is, it's a strange thing, but it's one of those things where, like, Gene had these introspective songs, and they were kind of ballady.
Yeah.
But the ballady introspective songs that were left off, I thought were better than the ones that were put on the album.
Hmm.
And my first choice is this one that is a definite straight-up ballad, but I think this is much better than We Are One. This is a song called I Am Yours.
Yeah.
theme song. I'll take that over We Are One.
Which
sounds like a Coca-Cola jingle.
It does. That's probably why it's on there. They know someday they're going to make $1 million off that song.
You mean he was commercially minded about a song that he was going to... A snippet of that got released years and years ago. It was like a minute and a half part of it. And ever since I heard it, I was like, man, I really like that. I want to hear the whole thing. And then now you got to hear the whole thing that came out a couple years ago.
That's probably the best thing about the internet is the fact that you can find unreleased Kiss songs. You know, they're out there. It's like, it used to be, like when I was young, you'd go to like the record store, CD store, like a mom and pop place that would get the bootlegs.
Yeah.
And you would find, that's where I got my original copy of Carnival of Souls.
I got the Wicked Lester album.
Yeah, on the demo version. And I had weird Kiss CDs with like Live in Australia. Mm-hmm. And
I had Fried Alive and Stoned in Paris. And
nice.
Yeah, all these really funny named bootlegs.
So many of them. Awesome.
So what's your first one?
Well, this is one that goes back to the very, very beginning. So it's just been a few months after they play their first gig at the Popcorn Club, and the band is in the studio to record a 5-song demo tape with producer Eddie Kramer at Electric Lady Studios in Greenwich Village, New York. It was the first ever artist-owned recording studio as it was built for Jimi Hendrix. It opened its doors in the summer of 1970, and that's just months before the death of the legendary owner. It's best known is where Zeppelin had recently laid down the tracks for the Houses of the Holy. Before Eddie Kramer met Kiss, he was making a name for himself as a top-notch engineer and an up-and-coming producer. By having worked with Hendrix, Zeppelin, Spooky Tooth, Carly Simon, Blue Cheer, and Humble Pie. With help from Dave Whitman, who had previously worked with Gene and Paul on the Wicked Lester album, Kiss belts out a 5-song demo, including early versions of future classics Watching You, Deuce, Strutter, Black Diamond, and Cold Gin.
Thank you.
love that.
Those demos are interesting to listen to because, you know, you'll hear alternate solos on some of this. Like Strutter has this really long extended solo on it.
Oh, I love it.
And it just sounds so much beefier than what wound up getting recorded for the album with Kerner and Wise.
Yeah.
It just tells you how much of a difference Eddie Kramer would have made if the first album had been done by him.
Yeah, they're definitely more guitar thick for sure.
Yeah, now I listen to those songs from the demo way more than I listen to the album.
Yeah, me too. That's weird.
That's cool.
I wonder if Kiss felt that way. You had to know Ace Frehley felt that way about it for sure.
It just sounds—it's a quantum leap in difference.
Yeah.
So, all right. So for my next one, this is a real oddity. There was a leak in like 2 weeks ago, and I have to give credit where it's due. The Kiss My Boots podcast that Andrew Scambatti and Jason Herndon and Byron Salzano host, they leaked this. Well, they purposely leaked it because somebody else was going to leak it, was trying to leak it and make money on it. And they were kind of like, well, you know, we'd rather the fans just have it than for you somebody to try to get rich on it. So they put it out on their show.
Right on. And that's noble.
And I appreciate them doing that. And this is something that's kind of floated around on message boards for years. Is like somebody said that there was a version of Baby Driver with Gene singing the song.
Yeah.
From the Rock and Roll Over sessions. And I never honestly thought it actually existed because I was like, it just sounds bizarre.
Right.
Why it's a Peter written song. Why the hell would Gene be singing it? And to this day, I don't know why. But what you're going to hear is... it's a Baby Driver demo with Gene singing, but I got to quantify it. It's Gene doing basically a guide vocal, which I don't know what he's doing a guide vocal for.
So when you say guide vocal, what you mean is like he's hey, Pete, you know, if you're going to lay it down, this is kind of the rhythm of the vocals, like how they lay across the song. Let me show you.
He's kind of instructing, I don't know if it's Peter or somebody, where things go or where the song goes. But I have to only assume that's Peter playing drums on it. Although I know J.R. Smalling did do demos for this album too.
Yeah.
He played drums on some of the songs. So,
oh yeah, that's right.
So maybe it's J.R. doing it. I don't know. But so you have to understand, this is not Gene trying to do a finished vocal. It's very kind of lackadaisical.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to listen to. So this is Gene doing Baby Driver.
Yeah. Go, baby driver. Wow.
Although I like the production on the demo better than I do on the finished out. It's like got a bit of a heavier sound.
Yeah, it is definitely rougher and raw.
And that is Eddie Kramer producing this.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, Rock and Roll Over has personal meaning to me because it was released 6 days after I was born.
Man, every Kiss album has a meaningful meaning for you. Yeah.
Well, of course they do.
It's funny.
Well, that one does it because
like,
I was like,
we sit here and like every time a Kiss album comes up, we both say, you know, that one's got special meaning for me because of this or because of that. But it really, well, there's something about almost every Kiss album that.
Yeah, but yeah, it came out a week after I was born.
Wow.
And I remember it well. No, I'm just kidding.
I came out, they handed it to
right.
me.
Right. It's still interesting. They went back to Eddie Kramer and worked on this after working with Ezrin on Destroyer because initially sales were soft for Destroyer and. Diehards were not really happy with Destroyer,
right,
and
yeah.
So they rush right back into the studio with Eddie Kramer, like, we got to make a hard album again.
Yeah.
And then by the time Rock and Roll Over comes out, Beth's all over the radio.
Right.
So it must have been a confusing period of time.
Boy, that's tough to try to, you know, that's like, I think Michael Wagner told us once, that's the tough thing about following the trend. Like, you say, okay, this is what's really cool, let's make an album that sounds like that. And by the time the album actually comes out, everything's changed, and that might not be cool anymore. And so, like, Beth hits, and it's huge, but they're already trying to,
An interview I heard with Bob Ezrin recently, he said he still has the letter that Bill O'Coin sent him after the first couple of weeks of Destroyer being on the market. Of Bill O'Coin saying, we'll never work with you again.
Oh, wow.
Because you've changed our sound too much.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, it didn't take off with Detroit Rock City like they expected, and all of a sudden Beth's all over the radio.
So you're trying to say that them bringing him back for Music from the Elder was like some sort of revenge scheme?
No.
Like, we're going to get you back for what you did to us on Destroyer by making you sit through this.
Oh, no. Bob Ezrin was a very big part of that album, too.
I know he was. But I'd love to hear the inside story from him on that.
One day, I hope. All right, so you're up next.
All right, well, hot off the completion of Kiss Alive in August of 75, Kiss would enter Magna Graphic Studios in New York City to work out some of the songs they plan on presenting to Bob Ezrin, speaking of the man, for the album that would become Destroyer. They churned out a whole bunch of songs during these sessions, and some of them would make the Ezrin cut. Songs like Detroit Rock City with a switch at lead vocals, God of Thunder makes the cut. A song called Bad Bad Lovin' is the basis for Calling Dr. Love. Mad Dog, which would be reworked to become Flaming Youth. And a song called Nightfly that features the lyrics from Sweet Pain. Mm-hmm. They also recorded early versions of Ladies' Room, Love 'Em, Leave 'Em, and Plaster Caster, plus three songs that would end up on Gene Simmons' solo album 3 years later.
Yep.
I found that strange.
Yeah.
You know, here's another thing I love about Kiss. I've been listening to Kiss since I was a little bitty kid.
Uh-huh.
And when Kissmas in July rolls around and we start doing some research, I still learn things about the band that I never knew before.
Yeah.
I love that. That's what I love about this band. In the mix are several songs that would never see the light of day, including one of my very favorite unreleased songs of theirs. From the Magna Graphic sessions, it's Kiss with It Ain't the Smoke.
Fall in love. Tell her not to.
That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. That should have made an album.
It's a cool song. It almost has like a Rolling Stones feel
kind
to
it. Kind of does. I like it.
Yeah. So it's got a lot of swagger to it.
And yeah, the, and I can whole, see Ace channeling some Keith Richards on that a little bit.
The whole phaser sound on the guitar is
I dig it. It should have been on an album, I think.
I remember when that leaked a few years ago. It was like, wow, this is... It's a completed, finished song. Yeah.
And it's a damn good one, too. You don't get that too often. A lot of times with demos, you get the old steaming piss flaps treatment, but...
Oh, that's a classic. What are you talking about? There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, man. I went to a site called guitars101.com, and they got a pretty awesome write-up about like the unreleased songs from 1975. They got some stuff in there about the songs that come out of the Larrabee studio sessions when they go to L.A. in 75 and do some stuff there. So, yeah, check that out, guitars101.com. Very cool.
Have you heard that one called Mistake?
Yes, it's a country song. I like that too. I like it though. It's the greatest country song I've ever heard.
It's Kiss doing a country song.
Oh, it's so cool.
Can you picture them in the makeup and costumes playing that? Mm. It's such a bizarre song for them to churn out. That's very much a Wicked Lester sounding song.
Right. I still like it for some reason.
No, I like it too. It's
weird,
interesting.
But I do like it.
It's an oddity.
It's like the greatest country song that was never released.
Yeah.
What if they would have released it? They'd have been a number one country hit single.
Oh, well, who knows?
Paul Stanley would be like, Peter Criss, I beat your hit.
On the last Kiss cruise, I don't know if you saw this, you know, Paul will do these things, these like VIP acoustic shows on the cruise.
Yeah.
And he'll break out stuff that he hadn't played before. And he did Mistake the last 2 years.
Oh, right on.
And it sounds pretty cool. But one of the things he did was, I can't remember the name of it now, but he played it on there. And it's called So Long.
Okay.
And it's just like a breakup song. And it's pretty good. Like, if you look, and he was like, I wrote this and we demoed it for Rock and Roll Over, but it never got put on there. But like, you hear it, and like, it would have been interesting to actually hear the full demo of that. So that may eventually get released.
That'd be cool.
But it's another kind of Rod Stewart ballad type thing. But yeah, it's interesting. I'll send you the link to it.
Cool.
So, all right, for my next one, I want to go back to the Psycho Circus sessions. And like, there was a good handful of songs that were put out from these. One of them that I almost picked, if you're into, it's kind of a Paul anthem, very much along the lines of Raise Your Glasses musically.
Yeah.
It's a song called Body and Soul. Have you heard that yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I've heard that.
And that's, it's pretty good, you know, but it's lyrically not the greatest, but I think musically it was pretty interesting. But I wanted to pick this one from Gene, and some of this stuff would wind up in other songs, like on the Asshole album. Some of the musical qualities of this song, but it's a pretty cool song, and it's a very Gene Simmons title. This is a song called I Wanna Rule the World.
Yeah. Thoughts with Ace Frehley.
Hi, Curly.
The only podcast getting snowblind in the middle of summer. It's Christmas in July on the Decibel Geek Podcast. It's so
hard to feel right here. Asylum, the new Kiss album. Accept no imitations. Mercury Records and Tapes, Kiss Asylum. You'll be crazy about it.
Available at all Tape World and Record Town locations for $6.99.
The Sing Holy Girl Concert Series, Friday, April 11th at Meadowlands Arena. Sean Scherer and WNEW-FM welcome the Kiss Spectacle. Together with Blue Oyster Cult. Now at Meadowlands Capitol Theater and Ticketmaster Outlet. Friday, April 11th at Meadowlands. Together live, Kiss and Blue Oyster Cult.
All right, before we get back into the demolicious demos of Kiss here during Kissmas in July on the Decibel Geek Podcast, I want to just take a minute to thank everybody that helps us out in all the various ways. You know, we talked about it. Yeah, it hurts to not get an iTunes review, but I know we're going to get one next week, and it's all good. You know, when people get out there on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these great places where you can spread the word and you're telling people about the Decibel Geek Podcast, man, we love and appreciate that. We really love our VIPs that are a part of our special group of people that love the Decibel Geek so much that they want to help more, and so we give them more. They get all kinds of cool stuff from us. We do extra episodes. We've recently been releasing extra pieces from interviews, stuff that didn't make it into the show because of whatever reasons, you know, they end up on the for the VIPs to get, because they're special. They get stuff nobody else gets, including to take part in our specifically just for us Facebook group. And we communicate in there and we talk to these guys, and you know, they're all really cool. Like the coolest people in the world are Decibel Geek VIPs. I'm convinced of it, because anytime I go on Facebook, the group is what I want to look at.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotten to the point where it's like I rarely go to other members of other groups, but I rarely go to them because I'm so busy when I go to that one, because there's always some cool conversation going on in there, you know. And so we invite you to become part of the VIPs. It's extremely affordable, but it helps us out a ton, and you get a lot in return. You know, just ask a Decibel Geek VIP, they'll tell you. Decibelgeek.com, amazing writers from all over the entire planet. They're doing Kiss stuff for us during Kissmas in July. Very entertaining. Some really funny stuff I was reading the other day. You know, the Rockin' Pod Expo's coming up. Yes. We want you to come to Nashville, be a part of that. What's the latest on that? We got any big updates, anything besides we hit our goal, which is amazing?
Yeah, we hit our funding goal, which is good, which means because now the next step is, because a lot of the people that donated are from out of state, some out of the country. So not everyone that donated is going to be able to make it. So now the next goal is to work on getting the locals involved. So if you're anywhere in the Southeast region and you're within a drive's distance, you're who I'm talking to.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
We need to have people there, because otherwise I'm going to look like Artie Fufkin at a Spinal Tap song. And I don't want somebody kicking my ass. So we need people to actually be at the show. And there's a lot of reasons to come out for it.
So, yeah, there is.
There's a lot of... All these, you know, over 25 podcasts are going to be there recording on site.
They're all very excited.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, the pre-party the night before with Denman, The Tip, and Desolation Angels, a Bad Company tribute band. Vinyl dealers are signing up left and right now.
I've been telling you, you know, they're bringing the rock and roll. Yep. They know it. They know what this is. And they know that they've got stashes of really cool rock and roll stuff that they probably haven't. I mean, think about these vendors when you go to a flea market. They've got a ton of albums, a ton of CDs, a ton of posters and buttons and all kinds of stuff. But you got to know, they've got a huge stash of this stuff at home. And if they just go through and they kick all the Garth Brooks and the LL Cool J to the side and really dig deep and really pull out all the best rock rock stuff. Can you imagine what they're going to be bringing to the Rock and Pod Expo?
And then a lot of special guests have been announced already. And then, you know, of course, producers panel with Michael Wagner, Toby Wright, and Kevin Beamish.
I'm so looking forward to that.
That's going
to
be cool. Heavy Metal Parking Lot reunion, the screening.
So the producers panel, are we taking questions from the audience?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So if you want to get your question answered, come out to the expo.
Sure. You want to learn a little something about how they record music and how it's done correctly? Well, there's three guys right there on stage. I got a microphone. I'll bring it right to you. You ask that question and they'll answer it.
Yeah. And I've got more guests to announce soon. I've got a couple of
even more.
Oh yeah, I've got a couple of bigger names that I'm working on. I'm not going to say anything till I get a yes, but I'll just say we're close on a couple of them.
Nice. This is a star-studded event already. And we don't even have all the announcements yet.
And Aaron and I will have a Decibel Geek table there, and I also just ordered for the expo.
We're going to be right in between Cobras and Fire and the Rock and Metal Combat podcast.
Yeah, man,
I can't think of a better place to be.
And we'll have stuff there to also Decibel Geek buttons. I just ordered a whole bunch of those. They're going to be there available for you. So it's a lot of stuff and more stuff to be announced. And we're hoping to make this an annual event. So help us make this first year a success and come out and hang out with us.
It's going to be great, man. So many ways you guys have helped us out. A huge way you've done it is by doing your Amazon shopping through our website. You go to decibelgeek.com. You click on our Amazon banner. It takes you to the website, the online store, and it looks exactly the same. Why? Because it is exactly the same, except by going through our link on our website. Anything you buy, when you pay your price for it, whatever price you agree to pay, whatever it costs, that's what you're paying, not a penny more. And then Amazon gets your payment. Once it's done, you get your product. Amazon takes your payment, slices off a little piece for the Decibel Geek podcast because you went through our site. So simple, so easy. Mm-hmm. And the very coolest thing about all that is Amazon, they love us. And they give us the list.
Yeah, we get a list of the stuff you buy, and here's some of the more notable purchases over the past week on our Amazon link. A Stack and Snap deviled egg carrier was bought.
Nice. I love deviled eggs.
Also, a Tile Lock Super Scrabble game was bought.
Cool.
So deviled eggs and Scrabble. So far, somebody's grandma was on our Amazon link.
Hey, deviled eggs are for everybody.
That's true. Also, the Encyclopedia of Kiss book by Brett Weiss was bought.
That's cool. I like that.
And then in music...
A band so awesome, they warrant their own encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah.
It should be like the Britannicas, where
yeah, there
it comes
needs to
in
be more
volumes.
One volume.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be great.
All right. So in music, Steelheart's We All Die Young was bought. You'll recognize that song from the Rockstar movie. That's Steelheart doing that song.
That's right.
Cheap Trick's Lap of Luxury was purchased.
Underrated album.
Yeah. Another copy of Styx, The Mission, was bought.
Nice. It's good to know that Styx is moving some product in 2017.
What about a Heavier Side of Styx episode?
Oh, it can be done.
We should do that.
Oh, it can definitely be done.
I enjoy doing those Heavier Side episodes.
Yeah, me too.
A band called 20 Watt Tombstone.
I like them.
An album called Wisco Disco.
They're from Wisconsin.
I was just going to say, I saw the title and I'm like, I got to check into it. They're from Wausau.
Right.
In your neighborhood.
That's right in my neighborhood. So cool.
Ace Frehley, Anomaly Deluxe Edition that just came out. Two copies were purchased, one on CD and one on 2LP picture disc.
Wow, nice. Is there extra songs on the deluxe?
Yes.
It's, oh, really?
Well, one. It's, you know the song Foxy and Free?
Yeah.
It's the original version of that was actually submitted for Psycho Circus. He had written it with Sebastian Bach. It's called You Make It Hard For Me.
You Make It Hard For Me.
Yeah, so that's on there. And also...
I've heard that demo, I think.
Yeah, also Alice Cooper's new album Paranormal. Two copies were purchased, one on CD and one on vinyl.
That's awesome.
And I take credit for the vinyl.
It was
me.
Nice.
So yeah, I can't wait to get it in the mail. So yeah, that's what was purchased on Amazon this week.
That's cool. We appreciate everybody that does their shopping through Amazon, through decibelgeek.com. I know it's hard to go to click on that link because there's so many amazing articles to distract you, and that's okay. Yeah. But when you're done enjoying all those amazing articles written by amazing people, then you hit that amazing button that takes you to amazing Amazon.
Right.
Amazazon.
Amazazon?
Amazazon.
All right. Let's get back to Kiss demos.
Okay.
All right. I'm up next. This is the one I have the smallest amount of homework done for, so I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it, but it's a pretty cool little demo, and I believe this is from the Love Gun Deluxe Edition that came out a couple of years ago. But it's a Gene demo, but it's definitely got a finished sound to it, and I think you can hear little bits of Living in Sin in this, basically. But this is the original version of it, and this is called I Know Who You Are.
Sexy letters. Think you've got a secret, or just a wish upon a star. And I know that you want me, I know who you are. I know you wanna love me, don't wanna stray too far. You want me for your first love.
So some of the same lyrics from Living in Sin on this,
and, yeah.
Just no mention of the Holiday Inn in this version.
It's weird how many of those, you don't think about it, but a lot of those songs on the Gene Simmons solo album were old Kiss songs,
mm-hmm.
even one that made it onto an album.
Well, he's certainly known to recycle a lyric or a riff or two.
Right, but he's known to be such a proficient writer, you know, mm-hmm. that's one thing Gene is known for.
Yeah, but he rewrites the same songs a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, and even in the 80s, there's a lot of that, too. I'm not saying it as a slag, I'm saying it's just, he likes to flesh ideas out, and if it's something that he comes up with, he likes to, you know, didn't work on this album, let's try it a different way and, you know, reinterpret it.
I suppose if you write something and you feel it, you know, and you really dig it and you want it to work, but for whatever reason, it just never seems to. So you say, man, I really believe in that one. There's something missing, though. You know, maybe if I try it this way. Nope. You know, okay, what if we did this? Nope. Well, what if we try it this way? Yeah, that's it.
Do you know how many times he's tried to have a song called Rotten to the Core on a Kiss album?
Yeah.
Like for like 20 years, he was trying to make that happen.
Right.
He's rewritten that song like 5 times.
Yeah. He must believe in it.
He loves it. He at least loves that phrase.
I bet it'll be on the box set like 6 times.
Yeah, Rotten to the Core, version 16.
Take 531.
Here's the Rotten to the Core CD from the box set.
Nice.
All versions of Rotten to the Core.
That's awesome.
All right, what have you got next?
All right, what I got next is a tune that was written by Lou Anderson and Becky Hobbs.
Hard rock giants.
Right. Actually, they were old-time rockabilly artists. And this one was brought into the studio by Bob Ezrin, who envisioned Peter Criss killing it vocally. According to the book Shouted Out Loud, the story of Kiss's Destroyer and the making of an American icon, Bob thought Kiss could get the same kind of positive reaction that Alice Cooper got by covering the 1968 Judy Collins song Hello Hooray.
I love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. This one?
Not so much.
Not so much, you know, but I'm going to let you check it out for yourself. Peter Criss does kill it vocally on this, but it's just not... just not right, but give it a shot for yourselves. From 1976, unreleased demo of Kiss. It's called Ain't None of Your Business.
Don't ask me where I won last night. It ain't none of your concern. Who I see and what I something out of nothing. Let your imagination be your guide. Sticking your nose where it ain't wanted ain't none of your business. Never you mind. Ain't none of your business. Never you mind. Let me put it straight.
It sounds to me like Peter's really into it, yeah. But the rest of the band just ain't digging it.
I just don't think it's the right song for Kiss.
No.
I think he tried to Kissify it as much as he could.
Right.
But the song as a whole, it just doesn't really fit Kiss.
Right. Kiss not really, I don't know.
The band Detective wound up recording this song.
Yeah.
Michael DeBars' band.
All right.
And it worked a little better for them, but to be honest, it's just not that great of a song. It didn't sound that great with them either,
I like the bass in it. Its bass has got a good
There's a good idea there. It just doesn't really go anywhere.
That's one of them things. You know, Bob Ezrin, it's an experiment. Here, you guys try this, and they probably fucking hated it, you know?
Well,
I can do anything, you know, and let me try it. And
yeah.
You just didn't, you know, that's the disconnect on that one. It's like Peter's really killing it on the vocals, and the rest of the band is barely paying attention while they're playing.
And then, you know, and Ezrin did it also on Destroyer with King of the Nighttime World.
Yeah.
That was done by a band called the Hollywood Stars, and Kim Fowley wrote that song.
Oh, wow.
And, I think Kim Fowley told a story about, like, Bob Ezrin called him out of nowhere, and he said something like, are you looking to add to your retirement fund? And he's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I need you to write something for Kiss. And he had already written that song with the Hollywood Stars, his local L.A. band.
Yeah.
One of the guys from Hollywood Stars saw him writing stuff on the sheet of paper. He's like, what are you doing? He said, planning my retirement. But that's a case where the interpretation did work. You know?
Yeah.
And if you've heard the original version of King of the Nighttime World, Kiss took it and made it better. You know,
yeah.
None of your business. I just don't know that there was a lot there to work with.
No, it's hard to kissify a 1950s rockabilly tune.
Yeah, but it's interesting to listen to. It's one of those things where, like, some of these songs, you may not necessarily think they're great songs, but as a Kiss nerd, and you're not listening to this unless you are,
right?
It's just interesting to look at it
and give it
a spin. You know,
I like it.
So for my next one, and then this is crazy, like. And this one was new to me, which is hard to pull off
because
I'm such a geek with this stuff. I remember the title of this song, but I've never heard it until this week. And it's also hard to believe that there were songs that got left off of Hot in the Shade because there's 15 of them on there.
Yeah,
but,
and they're all demos.
Yeah, they're all pretty much demos that were finished out.
Demolicious, the Hot in the Shade edition.
Yeah, and what I'm going to play for you sounds like it would have fit right there with the production and everything. But this is a Gene song from 1989 that was done for Hot in the Shade, and I don't know that it's any better than anything that's on Hot in the Shade. I would put it ahead of Boomerang for sure.
I like Boomerang.
I like the guitar playing.
Yeah.
But as a song, there's nothing there. It's just, let's show off for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I like that.
But this is actually a pretty good little rock song from the late 80s. It's certainly not anything you would have thought should have been a single or anything, but it's interesting to listen to. This is Gene doing a song called Street Legal.
Razors in her eyes.
That's pretty cool, man. That's new to me too.
Yeah, it's an odd song, but it fits in with that era.
You know,
it sounds like it, but it would have fit right in on Hot in the Shade. Fits in there with like Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell and stuff like that.
Yeah, I see it.
But yeah, hard to believe anything was left off of Hot in the Shade, because it sounded like they were like, all right, we have 15 demos. Put them all on there. This song's called Cadillac Dreams. But I don't know. And there was a song that I thought was great when I was 12, and now I'm not so much. It hasn't aged well.
Yeah, that's cool. It was a strange time for Kiss. But again, that's the magic of this band, you know, where even at our age, it's so exciting to hear a Kiss song, even if it is something that might have been on Hot in the Shade.
Yeah.
You know, something you've never heard before, you know. And that's, again, we talked about it last week with the guys, and I'm really looking forward to the Gene Simmons box set, you know, because that's going to be like getting to hear a whole bunch of Kiss songs that you never heard before all at once.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to finding out what's all on it. I mean,
that's the biggest question. Because what's going to make it?
That's the beauty of it. Because you think about, you know, these songs have been leaked out, you know, between back in the day on the bootlegs and nowadays on the internet, and anybody can hear them. It's basically public domain. But if anybody, and it rings true, especially with like your Baby Driver pick from earlier, where, you know, you could just be having a normal day and all of a sudden, boom, there's a Kiss song you never heard before.
Yeah. And that was cool. Yeah.
And so this happens from time to time, but who has the ultimate collection of these things?
Oh, gosh.
So many things that nobody has gotten their hands on over the years. Something somebody has heard like years ago. Like you look at some of these lists on the websites like Kiss FAQ.
Yeah. That's and the it's best
like
place.
A lot of them, like, we'll tell the stories about like the demos, and then it's like there's ones that are in question because somebody once said that they did a song called this, and you know, but has anybody ever heard it? We don't know, you know, and it's
especially
it's a mystery
for Psycho Circus and Carnival of Souls. There were for both those albums, there's still titles out there that have never been released.
Yeah.
And that I'm like, or either that or they're titles that were working titles and they became stuff that was released.
Right. You know, and a lot of times back in those days, you know, you'd give an interview to Hit Parade or Metal Edge or something and you'd say, oh, yeah, you know, they're working on the new album and we got a song called this and a song called that and a song called this. And then you'd read that and be like, oh, I can't wait, you know, and like being a young Kiss fan, that was the thing. Like they'd talk about like names of songs. You'd be so excited, like He Who Dares Wins and things like that.
Oh, Who Dares Wins was going to be Crazy Nights' album title, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you think, oh man, these songs, and are they out there? You know, if anybody's got them, it's Gene.
Mm-hmm.
So that box set's going to be killer.
Oh yeah. And you know, there's a lot of people that think they know of everything that's out there. I guarantee Gene's got a bunch of stuff that no one's ever heard.
And I wouldn't be too surprised to know that the box set is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, I hope so. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. It's all audio and video stuff. I mean, that as a diehard fan, that's what I want.
Yeah.
You can keep Hello Kitty and all that shit. I want the music.
We want the music.
Yeah.
That's what we love. All right. So I got one more.
All right.
I had to do a lot of research for this, but this is a pretty cool story. So on a warm night in 1978, Ace Frehley, after another sold-out Kiss show, sits at a table in a nightclub surrounded by admirers, laughing and hanging on his every word. He gives Pete Rose advice how to make his bat smoke.
Pete Rose,
you know, the baseball player. He explains the sexiness of Susan B. Anthony to Jimmy Carter. He regales Jim Davis with hilarious tales of his giant orange cat he had as a child. Everyone is having a great time when they decide to leave. As they congregate outside the club, a young pregnant woman named Diane Finnegan stumbles by. She cries out in pain as her water breaks. Ace sniffs a giant line of cocaine and says, I got this, Curly. He proceeds to deliver the baby right there on the sidewalk. A healthy baby boy. As the onlookers cheer, a tall, handsome man leaps forward with a knife. Ace bends down to pick up the joint he dropped, and the dude misses and smashes his head into the brick wall of the club. As the first responders are helping the lady and her newborn into the ambulance, they look at the unconscious man and exclaim, he's a sick rapist and is wanted for at least 30 murders. Ace looks longingly to the sky and reflects on his own awesomeness. A song rings out inside of his brains. I have to find Kiss right now. Suddenly, he hears the roar of a wild jungle cat as Peter Criss leaps down from a building across the street, and the sky lights up purple as Paul descends from the heavens with all of Kiss's instruments. The demon was humping Joyce DeWitt behind a light post, pretending no one can see him. And it's time for Ace to play the song, but who could record it? Suddenly, the Vogue rolls in, and a van pulls up, and it's Keith Moon. And they exclaim, "Keith Moon, we thought you were dead." And Keith Moon said, "I came back from the dead just this one night, and I brought the Who's mobile recording machine, and we are here to record this song." We heard it earlier, the official Ace Frehley's original lead vocal in Kiss with Cold Gin. This is one you're hearing for the first time here on the Decibel Geek podcast from 1978. It's Kiss with Ace Frehley on lead vocals, and this one's called Streetwise. That's an amazing story. I never knew that before. See, I'm telling you, you do a little research and all of a sudden you're finding out all kinds of new things about Kiss you never knew before. Did you ever hear Streetwise before?
No.
Never?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Sounds a little similar to something I heard earlier this year, though.
Yeah?
A little bit.
I think it's a Kiss demo. It sounds just like Kiss to me.
All right.
It's a pretty cool story, though. I didn't know any of that stuff about Ace Frehley. What a night.
That is pretty cool.
He delivered a freaking baby right there on the sidewalk. These things all happened in 1978.
I just can't believe that Gene was banging Joyce DeWitt. That's pretty breaking news to me.
1978 was a crazy time.
That's wild.
Behind a light post? Yeah, everyone can see you when you're behind the light post. Yeah. I think he just didn't care.
Yeah,
not
I guess
that
so.
He wasn't pretending that no one could see him.
I think that's a song by a band called Classic 78.
Oh, yeah. Classic 78.
Yeah, that came out earlier this year.
I don't know, man. That story makes a lot of sense, though.
It almost had me fooled, though.
I think, well, if you say so, but I love it. Either way. As a matter of fact, I know that's Classic 78, but I still believe the story's real.
All right. Well, I've got one that actually is from Classic 78.
Okay.
So you be the judge of this.
Oh, it's so good. This little EP they've done, side one, is so good. You know, and this is a little funny joke that we kind of, put in here, but we've said it before, like, if you didn't know...
You would swear it was a Kiss demo.
And you come across this on the internet and somebody says, hey, this song called Streetwise, or hey, this song called Standing Tall, and you didn't know, you'd think it was Kiss.
Yeah, because they even have the voices down. That's the craziest part.
It's so cool.
And so, yeah, I want to play something off that. And by the way, to piggyback on our talk last week with the Gene Simmons band, we played some of this stuff for them last week, and they were equally blown away.
Yeah, nice.
But, so this is, we had to play something off of this because it was too impressive not to.
Right.
But, so here's mine, and here's one, if you didn't know better, you would swear this was Paul Stanley, circa 1978 also. This is a song from Classic 78 called Standing Tall.
Take control.
So you didn't make up, I mean, research the awesome story?
No.
Go along with it?
I wanted to, I tried to think up something fast with Suzanne Summers, but I just couldn't get there, you know. Mr. Furley bought a ticket to see Kiss.
And oh, man.
But yeah, no, I love that though. And you could only get the Classic 78 thing on iTunes. And I know we usually, you know, push the Amazon link and all.
Yeah.
But here's a case where I will push you. Go to iTunes and buy that Classic 78.
Right. That's the only place you can get it. And it is so good. If you like Kiss, there's no way on earth that you could not love
it's great.
Classic 78.
And there's Mystique. They don't say who they are or anything. Like, yeah. You know, we don't even know who the members are.
It's actually Kiss traveled back in time.
Maybe it is.
Or forward in time. So like in 1978, like right after all that crazy stuff happened with Ace Frehley, then they jumped into the time machine and flew to 2016, which was last year. And then they like record this EP and they release it now. And
I figured it out.
Uh-huh.
It's the cybernetic robots from Kiss Meets the Phantom.
Oh, shit.
They did it.
They're out of the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
Awesome. The next few years should be pretty damn interesting.
Rip and Destroy Tour 2018.
I'm there. I'm so there. Well, I guess we got one more, and this is kind of like a double pick of ours because we both love it so much.
My favorite Kiss demo, probably.
Oh, man. It's just the greatest. You know, there's probably very few times that you're going to find that. Well, and we've referenced it a little bit today, but, you know, and there are such things, but rarely is a demo better than what the real finished product ends up being.
Right.
You know, we've had a little bit of that today with like the very earliest Kiss recordings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that stuff's so awesome. I think this is probably a song that should have been on the album versus the song that ended up on the album, or at least done in this style recording. And it's it came from the Lick It Up sessions. Yeah. I'm assuming it came from the Lick It Up sessions in 83. It's Kiss with Not For The Innocent, but what you're going to find about this song that's really cool is that Gene and Paul share the vocal on it.
It's great.
So unlike what ends up on the final album, and I don't know why, I can't imagine why they decided not to do it this way, but I mean, it's so cool. It's really awesome. And it's actually Kiss. It's not Classic 78 this time, I promise.
No. And this has been fun. And guys, and I'm sure everyone is like, you should have played this, you should have played that. Go to the comment section under this on our Facebook page and put the links into the ones we should have picked.
Right. Or if there's other ones out there that we don't know about.
Yeah, let us know.
Make our day. Tell us where they're at so we too can hear and see them.
Absolutely.
That's the magic of Kiss, man. That's the magic of Kissmas in July.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.